Tuesday, December 7, 2021, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 3:30.
Do you know when the most recent?
I thought I lost mine.
It's the old.
Well, I think mine looks like that too.
Randy's got it on October 16th.
This is the.
He's on the red.
I thought I could wait for it to show up. I can't find it, I got it.
2013? I think we got one, when we. From, yeah, about 2 years ago.
Maybe.
Yeah. I didn't look at the publishing date, but I know I have one.
Exactly what I said.
It's a time.
He'll do it. Oh, I know.
3 o'clock, are we ready?
But it's not the same.
I'll call the meeting to order and we'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Roll call, please.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert Vesey.
Here.
Larry Albanese.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
All right. Current copy of the Opens Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Okay, at this point, we'll move to item one, public comment period, and this is the board will hear comments about any item that is not on the agenda, and we have the discretion to limit the time of comment, so I would say 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes for a comment. So any item that's not on the agenda, we will hear comments on.
I spoke with Joan a little while ago, and she said that if the public wanted to talk about that resolution, that they could.
During the resolution.
Right. During.
Normally, yeah.
Yeah, during, which resolution are you talking about?
The reason I'm here?
The C.
C.
C. Oh, on miscellaneous old business C, so.
Yeah, they can talk then?
During that period, yeah. Yeah.
Good to clarify that though, Brian, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
I can speak up for just a few minutes.
Okay. You want to come to the podium so we can hear you a little better?
I have to state your name.
State your name and your address. State your name and address.
Okay, Jean Merrill, and I live here in Dakota City, 515 River Road.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks, Jean.
I was here about a month ago on the questions about the southern border or the immigration that were coming in and not knowing if they would possibly be coming into our area or how would you know what areas they were being transferred into. And so I had made the contact to our representatives and to the senators. And I did hear back from Adrian Smith's aide, and he said that the only way that they would be coming into an area is if a charity or a group would be asking them to come in, that they weren't just dropping them off, but they weren't really aware of where they would be going because no one was really letting them know. And he said that they were making, the Congress was trying to present a bill that they would give them some kind of information. So they said that there's a real frustration with a lack of transparency. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that they did, I did hear something on the news about that, that they had a group of congressmen had set something up to present to the Congress about this so they could get some information.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not forthcoming to them. So they're very frustrated that they don't know. Now, to be quite honest, it was interesting because Deb Fisher's aide also contacted me and she said that the military are the ones that are controlling what's going on with the ICE people. And they are transferring people to different detention centers around the country. And right now, Nebraska doesn't have any detention centers that would take care of these people when the border is full, so that they would be the area, so Nebraska should not be getting any.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of my concerns, I think I wrote you about. that if there was a kind of an overflow, if we could possibly have any issues with that here at the Dakota County area that's being built. The other thing was, I hadn't heard back from SAS, Senator SAS, or the other congressman, but Lance Hedquist seemed to know that we would not be notified and that they could be coming in. Not that we are, there's nothing wrong, but the fact that we don't know if how things would be taken care of financially or security-wise in that kind of a situation. So it's not a question of any prejudice or anything. It's a question of financial and educational and health and safety issues, just so that there is some kind of an awareness for the area. And Lance was the one that said there would not be any notifications, so for preparedness, but there would be usually some kind of an organization that would be the ones bringing them in, but the city would not necessarily be organized to know, to do any planning.
So private entities, charitable organizations might sponsor.
Yes, they would be the ones. And now, of course, things have changed with the Afghanistan situation, but I was told that there is at least one church in Sioux City that has indicated that they are offering for the Afghans to come in. So there may well be some of that coming in. So not coming in, I don't want to make that kind of a situation. I'm not trying to make it an issue, a racial issue at all. What I'm trying to say is just the planning
sponsoring
process.
And
this is for any area, just so there would be enough room in that kind of a situation.
Okay.
So I was just interested in how the process worked. And as I said, the congressman, Adrian Smith, and those are concerned as well, so we at least have some kind of an area to work with.
Well, thanks for all the research, Jean. That's a lot of research, and I'm glad to hear there'll be people looking to sponsor. That's how it would happen, with some sponsorships.
So there should be
very good
more, but it's going to continue, of course, now that things are changing.
Thanks,
Jean. Thank you, Jean. Any other public comment on items not on the agenda? Okay. We will move forward with our consent agenda. Item number two on the agenda today is A, approval of the previous meeting minutes, which were from August 23rd and the 30th, approval of the payroll claims for July 25th to August 7th. I have reviewed those. They all appear to be in line. Approval of accounts payable claims, and we didn't really have any accounts payable. Accounts payable will be next meeting.
So moved on the consent agenda.
Okay, thank you, Scott. We have a second on that.
I'll second.
Bob, second. Any questions on the consent agenda items? Comments? Okay, we'll do a roll call on that.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. All right. Item number three is new business and resolutions. Item A under new business is the board to approve or not approve an increase in the base of restricted funds of the 21-22 county budget by 1% or $60,408.81 for a total increase in restricted funds to $211,430.83. And that's the second page of the calculation sheet, the budget lid calculation sheet that has it on there. I will make a motion to approve that restricted funds, 1% addition of $60,000.
Second.
Okay. Janet and Scott. Any questions regarding that particular resolution or that increase in base funds, restricted funds? Okay, we'll do a roll call on that.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Item number B, the board to approve or disapprove resolution 21C040 for the adoption and appropriations of the proposed 21-22 county budget. And your county budget is on the back of the page where they calculate the LID calculations. We had our public hearing. The 30th. Yes, we had that at 6 o'clock on August 30th and discussed some of the items on this budget. Any other questions that maybe have arisen since the 30th when we had our public hearing. Questions or comments on?
I think we need to sit here for a while and think about before anybody makes a motion, because that happened to me a few years back. Do you remember that? I had to make a motion, then I almost had to second it myself, and I couldn't do that. Do you remember that? Are you kidding me? All right, anyways, I'll make a motion.
Okay, a motion from Scott for...
How the hell did you get that?
Resolution 21C-040. Seconded by Troy. Okay, Scott, Troy. Any other discussions or questions on the budget?
I think it's just worth noting that the levy went down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's thanks to the board and also the elected officials, mm-hmm. Yep. For their work towards that. So.
Good point, Bob. Good point. The overall levy went down and just marginally up, just a smidge. It makes a difference if we can manage our budget. Okay, we'll do roll on that resolution. Resolution 21C-040, the adoption of the proposed 21-22 county budget.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, item number D. Public hearing. Yep, I gotta do the public hearing first. Item C. Public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations of taxpayers relating to the final tax request at a different amount than the prior year tax request. So we'll do a public hearing now in support of the final tax request for this coming budget year.
Can you tell me the time?
It's going to be
3:11. Anybody? Okay. Anybody want to speak in support the tax? Okay. Need to wait a particular period of time, or not necessarily? Okay. All right. We will move forward. Public hearing. Anybody want to speak in opposition of the final tax setting the final tax request for the tax year? Anyone speak in opposition? Any public comment? Any criticism, suggestions, or observations by taxpayers in regards to the final tax request? Any public comment on the tax request?
Anyone?
Nope. Okay. It is now 3:12. What time did we do? Sorry?
3:11.
Okay. Probably not. Yeah. I will, at this point, I will close the public hearing regarding the final tax request. Okay. Now we will move on to item D. The board to approve or disapprove resolution 21C-041, which is setting the county property tax request at $6,916,680.82.
Okay, I'll make approval for the resolution 21C-041 of setting the county property tax request at the $6,916,680.82.
Okay, thank you, Scott.
I'll second.
Bob, second that motion. Any discussion or questions regarding that tax request amount?
Okay.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes. Yes.
All right. We are now at item E.
Don't go skinny, come on down.
Price is right.
All right. County Treasurer's Pledging Securities, 21C-042. Don, can you give us an update on this resolution and its purpose?
You have in your packets, on August 25th, we had $1,500,000 that we got in pledged securities because of the property tax influx that we had. On the 27th, another $5 million that, and we are way back down now. We don't have an astronomical amount in our accounts right now because of we've been paying out and the tax roll has gone down. We've collected. So that should be taken care of. I do have some other updates. Is this a good time to talk about those? Mm-hmm.
So this was to secure because of the money coming in to secure those that bank, those bank account funds. Okay.
Yep. So we don't. Do we need to? Problems, so we're covered.
Can we approve this first and then, or do you?
Sure.
Do you, is it
yep.
related to this?
No.
No. Okay.
No, that's fine.
All right. I'll make a motion that we approve the pledged securities that were presented. Under Resolution 21C-042 for the bank deposit.
I'll second it.
Okay, Scott, Janet, Scott, any questions to Dawn about the pledged securities or any other questions related to those bank accounts? Okay, let's take a roll on that.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so this is approved. Any other, and you have some other comments?
But just to give you an update on the treasurer's office, what we've been doing in there. Since we're down two, of course, Stephanie and I have been working out front. I hope you haven't had any complaints about lines or anything. But
oh,
we're trying
boy. We wouldn't believe the complaints.
You've been working hard. You've been working hard.
Well,
I do know
you.
That.
Well, thank you. We're trying.
Yeah.
And we have another one that's due any time, so she'll be leaving and we'll be down three people. So we're going to continue to keep operating out front.
Hey, change the water who you're getting it from, all right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
They're bringing their own. And I did receive an email from Austin Partridge with First National Capital Markets this morning regarding the 2021 Highway Allocation Fund pledge bonds that you guys just did. That transaction was completed this morning and they paid off the old that we had, and I verified with the bank online that they did reimburse us the money that they were supposed to in regards to that. So that is done.
So the refinancing has the piece of the
today.
Okay.
Yep.
Taken care of. Okay.
All done.
Old ones paid out, and the new ones perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
That's all I have. Thank you for your.
Well, thanks, Dawn, and thanks for your hard work. That
thank
you know, it's.
I appreciate everything you guys do.
It's
also.
It's been a
teamwork.
Thank
yeah,
you. Thank
absolutely.
You.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, let's see, we are down to item F, and that is in your packet. There is a just a slight change from the amounts that we were, let's see, the Historical Society and the Ag Society, a slight change to the levy related to those two accounts. I mean, just minuscule, less than a penny. So we have an amended resolution 21C-035 with those amended amounts for those two subdivisions.
I'll move to approve.
Okay, Bob and Larry, any questions? I think this was just related to just a slight change in the amount of their request.
The value, our county value change. Yes.
Okay.
Is that one motion for both?
Yes.
Okay.
I put it on one.
I see that.
And
each made.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Joe.
So just a slight change from the one we did the 23rd. Okay.
Scott
made a motion?
No. Scott's roll call.
Oh, okay.
Scott said no.
Did we have a real... Bob and Larry.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Bob and Larry.
Robert.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so that then they will all be corrected. All right. So that was our new business and resolutions for this meeting. We'll
you guys
go
all have a nice day. See you later. I guess we got more.
We got some additional old business and some miscellaneous to cover out. And Jolene, are you here to update us on the road department report, which was in your distributed just a little bit ago.
It's kind of a crazy day.
Hi, Jolene. How are you?
Good. You?
Great.
So the guys spent 180 hours maintaining, 62.5 hours cutting trees, 20 hours on bridge maintenance. They finished cleaning up the bridge decking for the inspectors. 56.5 hours on 180th and the O Avenue culvert. They had to dig that out and replace it. Same with 260th and L Avenue. They spent 17 hours there and 16.5 hours on Weigel Creek on the culvert there. Spent 3.5 hours picking up garbage, 2 hours running magnet, 89 hours hauling gravel. They hauled 933.57 tons of three-quarter clean, 9 hours of sign repair. And we had requests for gravel for 175th Street, Hamlin Avenue, and Fiddler Creek Road. The two bridges, the Kenny Bertram Bridge, hopefully will be opened tomorrow. They were supposed to finish up today, and then we had to do some grading and graveling on the approach. In the bid last fall, it was included, Lux had that bid to install and remove that culvert we put in for the shoe fly.
Okay.
And then the Jackson High Bridge, they said about 2 weeks that should be done. And the 265th Street Bridge down by Homer will open bids at the next meeting.
So bids for the Homer Bridge will be next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Were we going to try to get that done this year yet?
Well, he was hoping. Out then.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, he was hoping. He says there's some contractors in the area doing some work, and he hoped it could fall in line with those. So
good.
Depending on the money, see if they'd be cheap. If they start in March, mm-hmm. and they're $20,000 cheap, we'd want to use them.
Yep.
Start now, and so ideally, this is the time to bid the thing out.
Perfect. Well, that's good. Tomorrow we can drive on the Kenny Bertram.
I'm wondering about that because they just poured to the deck a week ago, Friday.
Oh, did they? I was gone. So they were saying they were hoping to open it up tonight. Yet I'll have to talk to Brent about that.
Well,
is that something that needs to set for? Usually they set for a couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks. Did they take? I'm wondering if they took cylinders to find out what the strength of the concrete was, did they? You know?
I was gone today. I just got back and it was kind of a rush.
Because, I mean, you could be on it in 2 weeks provided the test results came up high enough.
Yeah.
I know Fred made him stay off for 4 weeks on that one of out there by Marley Mallets.
Is that four?
Right.
Or is that five?
Concrete.
It is?
All right. Kenny Bertram?
Kenny Bertram.
Yeah, concrete.
And...
Well, the one at Willis, did we heard anything from that guy at Willis?
I keep getting in a couple weeks. So that's the one where we bid last fall and we didn't have an end date on it. So
the Willis Bridge is still...
It's still...
The Jackson High Bridge is 2 weeks, we think. Okay,
yeah.
So Willis...
But he's done driving the piling, so that was his big holdup. So hopefully everything will go a little smoother from here on out. Yeah, I'll have to ask Brent.
Willis, that bothered me because without having anything in writing, that guy may not come for a year.
Usually he's pretty quick because he works with Norfolk Contracting. And I don't know if some emergency situations come up. I'm just going through the engineer.
Maybe two or three other bridges ahead of this one, probably.
So I'll check on that before.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. That'd be great. That's the one that's kind of been hanging out there. The rest, we kind of got dates on them.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm glad to see they're doing some culvert work and things like that. Good.
Any other questions?
Any other questions for Jolene?
Okay.
Thank you, Jolene. I think the next one is maybe related as well. Okay. Item B, board to approve the request for payment number 2. From Nelson and Rock for the, this is for the Waterbury Bridge repair in the amount of $127,130.50. And that is in the package. It's the Waterbury Bridge. Yeah, that was that's an error on the agenda. But the actual contractor's payment request is in the packet, and it's the Waterbury South.
That's the county line bridge.
Mm-hmm. That's one we share with Dixon County.
And if I'm seeing it right, there's $15,000 yet to be paid, $15,800 to be paid yet. That makes sense.
So they're requesting payment number two, but we still have to, we don't do that until we have the inspection. Is that correct?
Well, we paid them more than once. I mean,
this work is done.
Oh, this work is done. Yeah. Okay.
The $15,000 when it's complete.
Okay, this work for the 127 is done. Just the tail end until we get the final. Okay.
So I'll make a motion to approve the payment.
For the Waterbury Bridge. Okay, Bob?
Yes.
And Larry. Okay, any questions about the Waterbury Bridge? Lane, everything seemed to be going okay with that one? No concerns? Okay. All right. Take roll on that one.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
You bet.
All right. Item number C on the miscellaneous and old business. Brian Ellinger, Deputy Sheriff, response to Resolution 21C-032, negotiation impasse and implementation of final offer.
Yeah, so I don't know about everybody.
There's some information in the packet, and Brian has an additional handout. Okay.
So, letter to the board. The FOP Lodge 49 is advising the Dakota County Board of Commissioners that the resolution they passed on August 9, 2021 were not appropriate, and furthermore, the FOP Lodge 49 does not agree to the final offer and will not sign said document. The FOP Lodge 49 is asking the Dakota County Board of Commissioners to go back to the table and continue to negotiate. We do not believe that three meetings were good enough in regards to good faith negotiations, and we felt we were really close to settling. If the Dakota County Board would talk to us directly and stop taking the advice from the attorney they hired, the county would be better off and have saved a substantial amount of money. The taxpayers of this county should know that the Dakota County Board of Commissioners has paid this attorney $32,377.16 so far. This attorney wants us to go to arbitration, and that will do nothing but break the union and cost the taxpayers of this county hundreds of thousands of dollars. The Dakota County Board of Commissioners has to understand the Dakota County Board of Commissioners is not a school board. We are not teachers, and we do not all do the same job. So you can't treat us, all Dakota County employees, the same way. Maintainer operators, clerks for the county clerk's office, county treasurer's office, the assessor's office, and other offices all do different jobs. None of the other employees are certified law enforcement officers or certified correctional officers. We have employees staffed 24/7, 7 days a week. We absolutely cannot all be treated the same. It is asinine to think that would be accepted. Federal contracts with the U.S. Marshals and the Immigration Customs Enforcement actually bring in revenue to this county. In 2019, the federal contracts made $902,517.57, and even when 2020 was slowed by the COVID pandemic and swept across the entire world, $699,943.50 was brought in on the federal contracts. These dollar amounts are before calculating our jail housing inmates for other counties in the surrounding area, paper service and vent specs that brought in an additional $81,529.20 in 2019 and $76,182.54 in 2020. And yet the board chose to spend $32,377.16 on an attorney to remove benefits from the sheriff's office employees. Money spent on that attorney would have been better served if it had gone to the deputies and correctional officers who had to work through the pandemic. Face-to-face with citizens and inmates on calls and in jails with no option to close the door or make appointments. I know that the Dakota County Board of Commissioners probably has no idea what it takes to become a certified law enforcement officer or a certified correctional officer. It takes written testing and physical testing
to even get hired as a correctional officer or a deputy sheriff. Correctional officers have to complete 80 hours of training, both written and physical, become certified, and then they must complete 18 hours of continuing education to keep their certification. The deputies must meet physical requirements before they can even get into the academy. Deputies then are required to complete 12 to 16 weeks of training in Grand Island, Nebraska, where they must live during the week and are only allowed to spend weekends at home. They are then required to complete an additional 30 hours of continuing education a year to keep their certification. We have always negotiated with the Dakota County Board in good faith. Not once has the board allowed an outside counsel to come in and take over. Lodge 49 has agreed to numerous wage freezes over the years due to the lack of county money. The raises have been allotted and still have not made up for those years lost. The Sheriff's Office has only received, at most, 7.5% over the last 5 years, with the jail receiving considerably less. We've tried to give back to our county in the past, and now we have, and now here we are faced with a final offer. We feel completely disrespected, unappreciated, and undermined by the current County Board of Commissioners. In the 19 years that I've been back here, I've never dealt with this type of negotiations where, as the Dakota County Board of Commissioners lets outside counsel run the show. Nebraska Revised Statute 48-824, labor negotiations prohibited practice. Therefore, FOP Lodge 49 is advising the Dakota County Board of Commissioners that has executed a prohibited practice for any public employer, public employee organization, or collective bargaining agent to refuse to negotiate in good faith with respect to mandatory topics of bargaining. Refuse to negotiate collectively with representatives of collective bargaining agents as required by the Industrial Relations Act. Refuse to participate in good faith in any impasse procedure for public employees as set forth in the Industrial Relations Act. It should also be noted that due to the fact that the county board does not want to negotiate anymore, they cannot impose a four-year contract. In accordance with the Commission of Industrial Relations, you will have to accept that we are being forced to work under your past resolution under duress. I would like to invite each of you, with the sheriff's permission, to come do a ride along with the deputies and spend some time with the correction officers in the jail. Spend some time on each shift so you can see the differences from normal 9-to-5 job and what being a deputy sheriff or correction officer entails. Come and see what a day in our boots are like. How could you possibly know without experiencing it? In closing, I have an excerpt from a poem by Michael Marx that hangs on my office wall. And maybe remind the few, if ill of us they speak, that we are all that stands between the monsters and the weak. Respectfully, Lodge 49.
Thank you, Brian, for your comments. Any questions or comments? We will limit public comment to 2 minutes per person if there's comments today.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Do I need to give my name?
Yeah, name and address, please. Yes.
My name is Bobby Stapleton. My address is 970 Ithaca Way. I know this sounds a bit cliche. We own several properties and a business in Dakota County. We also pay a lot of taxes to this county. If I have an emergency and need law enforcement, I want to know that we have good, trained, reliable law enforcement such as we have currently. I find it ridiculous that you're spending tax dollars to hire an outside attorney to negotiate with your own sheriff's office. For years, the commissioners have always done these negotiations, and now you have hired an outside counsel to take even more benefits away from them. A lieutenant for the South Sioux City Police Department makes $10 an hour more than a lieutenant for the sheriff's office. I have an issue with you guys trying to undercut the men and women that serve and protect this county. You keep trying to compare the sheriff's office to others in the state. It just can't be done. You're comparing apples to oranges. I know Dakota County isn't a huge county, but there's a lot of ground to cover. South Sioux City is the only city in the county that has its own police force. Emerson has one sheriff, that's it, or police chief, I should say. And a lot of times he has to call us for help. If myself, for example, has an emergency, God forbid, but if someone was breaking into my home and I call for assistance and say one deputy is in Homer, one's in Emerson, I live by Jackson. That will take them at least 15 to 20 minutes to make it to my home. And that is if they can even leave the call they are on. If that was one of your loved ones, would you be okay with that? That is a lot of precious minutes that could potentially be life or death. You have to understand the world we live in is changing. Drugs, for one, are a huge issue in this area. Along with drug addiction comes a lot of theft. We are a tri-county area and right off a major interstate. I feel we need more deputies, and we need to take better care of the ones we have. If this goes to arbitration, it will cost the county hundreds of thousands of dollars, and for what? Our law enforcement is dealing with enough crime, drugs, and evil on the streets, so we can sleep in peace at night. They shouldn't have to fight their own people, too.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tracy Ellinger, 439-230th. I come kind of with a unique perspective today as a wife and a mother of a sheriff's office employee, as well as I've been a dispatcher at the LEC for the past 23 years. The current group of sheriff's office employees we have are excellent, in my opinion. As a longtime dispatcher, I've seen a lot of people come and go over the years, and the things they've often left for is better pay and better benefits. I don't understand the mentality of depriving a group of hardworking men and women who work shifts around the clock, no matter whether it's bad weather or a holiday, of the benefits and pay they deserve. None of us can really fully understand what it's like to do the jobs that the deputies and the jailers do. It's not really very glamorous, and most of us really wouldn't or couldn't do it. Why not take some pride in our county sheriff's office and keep their benefits and pay competitive to keep them here? And my final thought with that is, instead of Dakota County being a stepping stone for a deputy, a jailer, or a county attorney's career, why not make Dakota County a place to work for the duration of their career? It has been said a bad manager can take a good staff and destroy it, causing the best employees to flee and the remainder to lose all motivation. For the sake of Dakota County, let's not let that happen here.
Thanks for your comments and your work at the LEC. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Name and...
Hi, Gail Rohde, 1019 200th Street, Hubbard, Nebraska. For the commissioners that are sitting here, you have been elected by the people. And being elected by the people, you should do what is right for the people. And I feel very strongly at everything that has been said. These law enforcement and jailers, they put their life on the line for each and every one of us. And I think that every one of you need to reconsider your thoughts on this. You will be doing our county a big disservice if you continue going on the vote that you want to do right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail.
I'm Marguerite Kane, and my address is 114 North 2nd Street in Homer, Nebraska. I am here to totally support the law enforcement. I know that a lot of people don't think we're going to get more criminals or more people, but you know, the border's open, the Afghans are coming, they've got to have to go somewhere. They're going to go somewhere. Some are going to come here, there. People are not going to know where they are or who they are. A lot of them don't even know who they are themselves, don't talk, don't have English, and that type of thing. I also, and I know this is an old cliche, but these law enforcement officers put their life on the line every day. And I'd like to just ask you, when you leave your house in the morning, the only time you put your life on the line is when you get in a vehicle, drive to work, or drive to the grocery store or the gas station. That is the only time. These guys do it every single 8-hour, 10-hour shift that they're on all the time. And they deserve a lot more respect than what they're getting from this latest benefit cut, especially. It's pretty much the bottom line is I think it all needs to be rethought and given more thought to and respect to our law enforcement employees. They truly do a great job. And I know you hear complaints about them, this and that and the other. And you're going to hear that about every job or every place you work or whatever. But for the most part, they do a great job. And I think they need a lot.
respect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marguerite.
Here's the man of the hour. I want to be real short. Arlen Keene, 312 South Ward Place. I appreciate the last time I was here, you guys. I was trying to just discuss what was going on. But we really need to think about these wages, because Troy's on the board with hiring jailers. You were on the board, Janet. Mm-hmm. I've been on the board for several years, and it's getting tougher all the time. When I first started, when the sheriff asked me to do this, we were interviewing 12 to 14 people each time we interviewed. Now we're not lucky to get five, maybe three, and some of them are already working here. We're just, you know, renewing them. So it's really, I'm concerned, you know, as a business person, that we do something about trying to get our wages up a little bit. I know it's tough, because we're a county that's, so, you know, we're divided up. And I also know that you guys helped approve the addition or the jail if we get it going. So that way I appreciate that, because I was involved with the first time when we built the jail. And I just wanted to say thank you again. And but please, when you're talking negotiations, please think about, we got to get these new hirees paid right, or we're not going to keep and keep our old deputies, because they're very good. I'll tell you what, the other night I had a call. There was an alarm going off in my business, so I'm driving out there at 11 o'clock at night, and I saw one of the sheriff's deputies just turning. He blinked my lights, and he followed me out there and checked it over for me just like that. I mean, didn't I thank him? He says, no problem. So these guys do a good job, and you do too. Everybody does. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Arlen. Thanks, Arlen.
My name is Randall Brecken, Dakota City, Elm
Randy?
Street.
Randy?
Yeah.
Okay. Randall, okay.
I wasn't going to say anything today. I just came for moral support. But as I listened to this, a couple things caught my attention. I know you compare everything to other sheriff's departments in Nebraska. As a private employer, as some of you may know, Scott, you've tried to hire people. And others, you got to put Sioux City as a factor. Your employee base is the whole Siouxland area, not just this side of the river. My other question, just finishing up, would be, why didn't you guys try to negotiate on your own? Why'd you go to an outside source? And why'd you spend over $30,000 of mine and everybody else's tax dollars to do that?
We needed the contracts left over as one of the reasons we hired an attorney.
Now, they've always done it as the commissioners dealt with them directly in the past.
We haven't had the contracts left over for a long time, so we wanted to have legal advice on it and somebody that specializes in that.
And but you could still do your own negotiations.
We could, but they helped us through it. And negotiations wouldn't have been as long if there was some changes made, like with the Sheriff's Department, Brian. We talked about things, and then we go to the next meeting, and then you guys weren't good with it.
And I explained to you the reason why I did.
But that added to the extra meetings and everything.
Cleared into September before.
I think next time you negotiate, we should have you should have your union rep, and that way we could kind of get everything.
But you've spent over $30,000 and you're still not to a finish line yet.
That wasn't just for the sheriff's office.
It was for three. We had three simultaneously. It was helpful to have.
Yeah, it's broke down.
It was helpful to have a professional when you have three simultaneous contracts being negotiated.
So what's the plan going forward? Are you guys going to negotiate direct or keep spending money?
Hold on here. For this year, we've completed the process. Yes.
It's not completed right now though, because it's not signed by both parties. Unless I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it signed by both parties?
You don't know? I've signed.
So you're saying it is, and you're saying it's not.
The union did
we've
not
signed
sign
it.
And we're not signing. I told you that in my letter I just read.
Okay.
No offense, you guys are the commissioners. I think you should know if a thing's signed by both parties. I mean, wouldn't that make sense? You're here to represent us, and I got one person telling me, it's all signed, it's done. Somebody right here saying, no, it ain't.
We signed a resolution. I guess that's what I was
saying. By both parties, I said.
I was talking about the resolution that we passed. I apologize.
So it's not a done deal, so you're going to keep spending money and not negotiate directly. Correct? Or am I wrong?
I'm not sure how we respond to that right now.
So you don't know how you're moving forward?
That's something the commission would have to discuss.
Yeah.
You know, we were so close to 7. And you know the reason we had a union meeting? A lot of people showed up and they were like, oh gosh, we got to question all this stuff. You know, and Todd and I told them, look, we've had 2 meetings before this. So this is kind of on you guys. So if we can't get guys back to the table, like I said, we'll work under this resolution for a year, but we're going back to the table then. Because you cannot end that before your contract.
You can't what now? What was that again?
You can't enact a 4-year contract. Because when anything you go to arbitration for, it's a year at a time. You can't go forward. So if you guys don't want to go back to the table, the union is possibly going to take you to arbitration to get you back to the table. And I guarantee you, any judge will agree with us that you guys were not negotiating in good faith. It's going to cost us over 10 grand. But it's going to cost you guys a whole lot more, and the taxpayers a whole lot more. Probably 20, 30 grand on top of what you already paid him. We're all adults. There's no reason we can't sit back across from each other and talk. You know what I'm saying? Rick's done it. I've done it with Scott. I mean, why was he on the negotiating committee? Why is he on any committee? Because you guys are bulldogging him. I'm sick of that, too.
And everybody has to remember here real something. At the end of the day, we as a whole, as a county employees, sheriff's department, county attorney, we all get paid by the same checkbook. And I've said this many of times. So we all got to get along. We all got to work with each other. Like you said, this is not a daycare. We're all adults.
I agree totally.
Something. I don't know what the next step is, Brian, because I have not been involved in it. Okay, but I'd be more than happy to get with, you know, Kim, Joan, you know, the rest of the board, and try to figure this out. And what's our next step? What do we got to do? Is it a done deal for a year? I can't answer that. I'm sorry. Because I've not been involved. There was a resolution that I went along with, you know. But needless to say.
Did you think that resolution was fair?
We need to figure it out. There's no reason why the public should be here. And I appreciate the public coming out and be in the situation that we're in right now.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you were doing negotiations, we wouldn't be here right now.
Well,
because you've done it before, you got experience.
I don't know.
And the rest of the board needs to freaking understand that.
And I realistically.
Okay. Do we have another comment, public?
Yeah, Penny Epting. I do work for the sheriff's office, 111 Maple Street, Emerson, Nebraska. I just want to say that as a sheriff's office, we don't want to argue with you guys. We don't want to go back and forth and have any bad blood between us and any county agency. That being said, we are asking that you guys would come back and just negotiate with us. You know, we're not asking for anything outlandish. We're willing to give and take. I think you guys in the past have always been willing to give and take. I understand that you've obtained legal representation. I'm not saying that that's not a good move, because I think that's a responsible move by the commissioners. That being said, at some point, you have to be able to reconcile the cost of that with the cost to your employees. I mean, I myself, and I'm just gonna be real honest here, was gonna go to Omaha PD, because this is just ridiculous. It's just, I mean,
Penny, may I real quick? When I came on in 2011, I think, and Rick and Boskay can help me out here, but we started negotiating at that time. I think prior to that, it was Jim Hanks out of Des Moines. Mm-hmm. Come in. Okay. And then all of a sudden, we just decided to do it our own. If it was a 1 or 2 year, I know there was a lot of 1 year contracts mm-hmm. for a while because of the budget and the monies. But I guess the reason why we did it this time around is just maybe for the verbiage mm-hmm. and to get some input from an attorney. Now, if you remember, and it's on record, okay, I asked this guy when he came, what's this going to cost? That's the first thing I asked him, what's this going to cost? And if I remember right, it was 10 to 12 grand, somewhere around that nature, I think is what he said. Well, obviously, the longer that he's around,
the more it's going to cost.
It's more it's going to cost.
Right.
So, and you got to remember, at the end of the day, again, at the end of the day, because the day's always going to end, We have the final say-so. We take his advice, and we look at things, but at the end of the day, he don't have to look at you guys no more.
Right. You're correct.
Okay? We do. Mm-hmm. And we got to deal with you. And
that, I guess that's why I'm asking if you guys would be willing to go back and do some more talks with us. Whether he's here or not here or whatever and what have you, you know that we have given on those years where there was no money in the budget. We took the wage freezes. We did it.
And then again, I think we made it right, too.
You did.
If we did, because we said we would.
But that's a working cohesive agreement
Absolutely. Between
us and the board.
Absolutely.
And if there's all just bullheaded everything on all sides, it's not going to work. I mean, that's what it comes down to. People being willing to talk to each other and come to an agreement. We understand we're not going to get everything we ask for. You guys understand that we are going to ask for things, but you can't give us everything either.
It's called negotiation.
Correct. And I would just ask that you guys would make a collective decision to sit down with us again. And that's all I have.
Thank you for your comments, Penny. I guess just a little bit of background as regarding hiring our counsel. Because we did have three different contracts, we thought it would be helpful to have somebody with an expertise. And labor law changes have changed over the years, and it's been a while.
And that's understandable.
Right.
And you guys got all that information on the background in Bigsley that I sent you guys? Right. The Washington County thing, Hall County, Gage County?
Yep. I talked to those folks as well, so I'm
familiar. This is his job. He takes everything in arbitration. Yeah. He makes money. It's a line in his pockets.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that we, I realize you guys have given, you guys do a wonderful job. That's not really even a concern in my mind. I mean, you guys do a great job. But we did review, like counties, comparable counties. One of the things that our challenge in our area is Dakota County is like one of the smallest valuation counties in our in the state. And I know technically we're competing with Sioux City. From a labor point of view, but our budget is determined by our taxpayers, and our valuation here is quite small comparatively. And I know we did take with the jail contract, we did increase the hiring wage, Arlen, because you made a good point. We did increase the hiring wage significantly because we know we need to attract more people to the jail.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have a smaller tax valuation, but we still have the same crime from higher counties due to being where we are located.
Because we're actually in a metropolitan statistical area.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes.
In fact, even our juvenile laws are with metropolitan, and not any of the other counties around us fall within that.
It may be, but that doesn't give us more money because our valuation is based on
the
county we live
in. So the jail brings in, where's that go?
It's it helps support the budget. Yeah, it supports the budget. Yeah,
we're bringing in almost $1 million a year with everything,
and like I said, the wage increase we propose is the biggest wage increase that's been proposed in 5 years. So it is comparable to other counties of our size, and that's unfortunately we don't have a bigger pockets. Our taxpayers are concerned.
The question is, are you guys willing to sit down to the table in reference to some of the other items that were cut to at least discuss with us again?
I'm not sure that we were that far apart, honestly.
We weren't. That's why we were astounded with the fact that you did the final resolution.
Well, I think we're going to have, it sounds like to me that that's your guys' request, and I think that I think because of the resolution that we signed, I think that we probably still could probably sit down and talk. Is that correct, Kim?
I haven't been involved in any of it.
Yeah.
Well, the resolution.
We can check on that. I guess we can check on that.
Call a different attorney because they'll charge you, of course.
I think a lot of common sense would go a long ways.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the two major items I felt we were on. The salaries and the insurance, we were on the same page.
There's only two things that we. What's that?
Yeah.
You got nine?
The court pay was one of them.
Realistically, I think that. I think that we owe that to you guys to sit down and talk to you. Okay?
All right.
That's my opinion. But I am one of five.
Right.
I would second that. I mean, if it's doable, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're so close that it's not even funny.
I think in one meeting we could hash it out, in my opinion.
I think you're right.
And then we wouldn't have all this disparity.
I just want to say one thing.
What's your name, sir?
Rick Postgate, 408 Dairy Lane, South Sioux City.
Okay, thank you.
I think you passed a resolution you sealed. Just from past history, I know, kind of know a little bit about the resolution. But I think you guys may have been coached into doing that resolution without thinking. Because when you did that resolution, you sent these guys a final offer. And I do not think you can back out of that. Kim can correct me, but I just really, resolutions are pretty much set in stone once you do them. I think we need to think clearly about this. Maybe see if you can rescind your resolution. I don't know if you can do that either, whoever, you know, but and go back into negotiations. Like, I've talked to these guys, went to one of their meetings, and you're not that far apart. So I think it's worth going back into negotiations for. I support these guys. I want to see the safety of Dakota County continue. You know, I'd hate to see this a lawless community. And, you know, getting down to Janet said, you know, she knows that we're dealing with Woodbury County. We got the largest employer in the state. We got Tyson, we got Seaboard, we got Hines Foods. You know, we're huge. We're huge. So we got to think about those things. And I know that I've been there. I've been in your shoes. I know what the budget's like. But I've never done a resolution to stop negotiations. And we negotiated at night with these guys. You know, and Kim and I went through Jim Hanks's misspelled words and contract, and we straightened all that out. You know, we didn't hire anybody to do that. So that's all I have to say. I think you need to go back.
Thanks for your comments, Rick. Appreciate it. Any other comments?
I'll make a short one.
Okay.
Like everybody else, I came here not going to make.
Marty?
Not going to make comments. But,
it's just funny how Rick gets rocked up.
I know. Here, so I know. Right? Kind of get blood flowing.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
Yeah.
My name's Martin Hornstein. Live 1600 E Avenue, Dakota County, Nebraska. I feel uniquely suited in this situation because for a number of years I wore the same uniform you wear. I worked in your jail for a number of years. I feel that there's probably not a bigger supporter of law enforcement in Dakota County because I have a unique perspective on it. I also served with these guys for 4 years, and so that gives me the other side of it. And, you know, I don't think there's a person here, I guarantee you there's not a person here that wouldn't say, man, you guys deserve any kind of raise you can get. And you do, because it's dangerous out there. And you feed anything, it's not just the guys on the road. People in jail, too, deal with everything. But there's that piece up, there's that pie. How much pie are you going to give everybody? And I think the statement that you made, that it might not be the right decision, but it was responsible, is a great way to put it. It is responsible to have them look at it, because we're a small county, and everything is based on the valuation of the county and how many tax dollars you get. You guys bring in $800,000 a year because of the jail. Okay, victim's assistance. Say your wife or your daughter is assaulted, and you have to take that girl to victim's assistance. That victim's assistance lady, she doesn't have an opportunity to go out and make more money. She can't say, I need a raise because all of these people bring money to me because I'm doing my job. If a tornado comes through, it's the same way with the people that run the emergency management. They can't say, well, I go out and manage tornadoes in other counties. We get more money coming in because of that. You guys are in a situation where the jail is one of the few things in the county that bring money into the county. And I have a lot to say, but I don't know, you know, how to come to a conclusion on what it is. You guys definitely deserve whatever raise you get. As far as opening your eyes and asinine and I mean, I think when you talk about you people needing respect, these people also need respect. I don't think anybody up here needs to be talked down because nobody is doing anything. There's no benefit to them if they say, we're not going to do it because of this. They're not going to be able to get more money because they do that. They're doing it because they are doing it. So the question is, the average person at Hy-Vee right now, you walk up to him, do you want to pay an extra $100 out of your pocket right now so we can give a raise to the deputies? Because there's only so much money. And I mean, however this plays out, I hope that it works out to where everybody's happy, because that's what what I would hope. And I think you guys do a great job. And you guys all know it. You guys all know that. So thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
And I think we would all agree. They do a great job. I just limitations, but we maybe can...
And I think that needs us all to sit down together and talk again. I mean, I really do.
We'll have to do some research. I appreciate everybody's comments because it really, you know, like I said, we do agree. They do a great job. We were just also concerned about our taxpayers and our budget and our valuations and felt it was a fair offer, but we will visit about it.
And likewise, we're concerned about our taxpayers. Those are the people we protect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
those
right,
are the
exactly.
We go to the NICE board.
Exactly, you so. Do. And you do a great job of it, and we appreciate that.
I've rode with you people a few times over the years.
In the front or the back?
Hold on a second, let me tell you. 50% of the time I was in the front, and 10% I was in the back. No, those numbers don't jive. Oh, that's a pretty good one, Bob. I know you were that sharp. I underestimated you. Anyways, yeah, we appreciate everybody coming. I don't know if the chair or anybody wants to add anything, but I think we need, like I said, we need to look at, like what Rick said, the resolution standpoint. I don't know where it goes from there, but I think we definitely need to look into it.
Well, I'm not going to speak for the chair, but from my perspective, if there's a way we can do it, I guarantee you, we as a board will sit down and talk about it without an attorney.
Right.
And that's the question.
But normally you can't.
Well, I appreciate that. And there's another thing that I would recommend as this board. Do it old style, okay? Meaning?
Mono and mono.
Yes, exactly. Meaning not, you know, the whole board. At one time, I remember was doing the whole board talking to everybody or talking to your people or the jail. And then we narrowed it down to two people. But I think in this scenario, if we do go back and able to sit down, I think we should shut the whole board.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
I mean, yeah, make everybody accountable.
Right, absolutely.
Thank
you. Can I say something, Scott?
Absolutely.
My name is Jacob Sarah,
Jacob?
With the Sheriff's Office.
Jacob,
Lane.
Okay.
Address 101 Virginia Street in Sioux City. Like everyone here said, or like you guys said, you guys hired an attorney, but the bottom line laid with this board, you guys made the decision that was made. We're not just talking about money here, we're talking about benefits too, and this board voted to take benefits away from our jail staff that costs this county $0. So to say that this board wouldn't just do things just to do it, to me is mind baffling. But I think that, as Brian and everyone else here said, that if we sat down and talked person to person, that we could hash this out. Because like Brian said, we felt like we were disrespected and undermined. It felt like you guys did something just because you could. You took benefits away from people that cost $0 for no reason whatsoever. Benefits that were given to us for the 0% wage raises year after year after year. I mean, we're in a point, someone here made a comment earlier that, you know, the lieutenant in the city makes $10 more than our guy does. And I get that. The budgets are different. I mean, that's just common sense, but we sit around here and look at the tri-state area and, you know, we look across the river and someone over there that does my job makes about $15 more an hour than I do. And I'm not asking for a $15 an hour raise. None of us are. We aren't being outlandish. Our jail staff asked to keep the benefits we already had that cost you $0 again, and you still decided to do away with them for no reason. So, I mean, I think there was something underlying there, but I'm hoping that as adults and as employees of this county, I mean, we've all, I grew up here, I'm sure a lot of you guys do. You guys lived here and probably worked here a long time, just like I have. But I think that we all can come together and make a deal or make a contract work that's beneficial to everybody, because we've always been able to. It hasn't always been easy, it hasn't always been fun. Scott, me and you've had plenty of arguments. I mean, Rick threw his hat in the ring every now and again, too, and tried to come in. And I know Marty's a real ball buster back there, but we've always been able to get it done, and I really think that we can.
I think it was more your posse that I was sent to it with than your posse from Ponca.
No, I'm from Emerson.
No, I don't. Okay, whatever. So. Who's the other guy real quick that you always call?
Oh, for? Josh.
Yeah,
Josh. Yeah. Yeah, I know you and him were good friends. But yeah. Either way, but thank Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your comments.
Yeah, appreciate it, everybody.
I hope you appreciate that, or the hope that you're able to hire a few more people. That was kind of the goal. All right. I think anything else on the sheriffs and the deputies?
Our
and the
people
jailers?
Will be getting hold of your people.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for coming. You. Appreciate
very
it.
Very much.
Appreciate your comments.
When did the jail start making money?
The contract, you mean?
Since we get federal prisoners.
Yeah.
When that was just, 5 years ago?
Since we've had the jail, right, John?
It used to bring in...
Three.
Yeah, but they didn't have enough to feed the people. No, they didn't make enough money. You know, the story was the jail was going to be a mortgage lifter for the county when it was built originally. And everybody hated the commissioners for voting that thing in, the jail.
Yeah.
And it lost money for quite a number of years. It was, and I think that's probably where the inheritance tax, that $3 to $5 million went, was to finance the jail at that time.
Well, I think what happened was the 0.5% sales tax had paid the bond. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think we paid the bond off. Was it 2 years early, John, roughly? Okay, I remember we paid the bond off early to pay for the jail, and then at one time when our administrator was in there, it was a big money revenue, and then it kind of fell off. Okay, so then...
Who was the administrator?
That was Terry Kern. Okay, and then once it started falling off, the revenues did. And then once we parted from, parted ways with him, and the sheriff took over, and then the dollar ones started getting a lot better. I mean, at one time it was, $250,000 a year, maybe, Joe? Does that ring a bell? Yeah, I mean, it went from seven figures down to low six figures because of, I think, the relationship that was kind of happening between the feds and...
So we can't count on the feds in the future to guarantee us those beds.
We can't.
Well, it's part of that contract for the addition was, yeah,
they're guaranteed.
Part of it, yeah.
Well, who's got the authority to sign that document?
The board.
No, I'm talking about the feds.
Oh,
those guys that were here.
The guys that were here.
Surely them guys can walk around and sign contracts for millions of dollars.
No, I think they can.
I would think it'd have to come from the top. I just don't know. They say, well, that guy didn't have the, down the road 10 years or 5 years, and I said, well, that guy didn't have the authority to do that. He just stepped out of bounds.
Wow.
I guess that's probably something before we send it.
What happens
after they do the research and it comes back, we'll have to definitely check and see, make sure that it's...
We'll have our attorney
look
at the contract.
Yeah, have it reviewed.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, still, I mean, the authority to sign something like that, surely it's not the only one.
Right.
Signing a thing for $12 million. That's a lot of dough.
Signed.
What's that against?
The one they sent us is already signed.
He doesn't think the person's signed it had the authority
that's,
to sign.
It's already signed.
That's part of that CAPS agreement.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
already
signed.
Shared,
yeah.
But where does he get his authority from?
I suppose down the chain of command, I would think. Somebody,
Job title.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Job title.
He's in the Department of Corrections. Federal?
So he signed a 30-month contract?
Some kind of director.
Well, it's 10 years.
30-month contract
for the building.
Yeah, at 100.
At a full.
Right, there we go. 85 for the 10 years.
Right.
Assuming everything's all cut.
Assuming
all
at that time.
Yeah, make money and all that kind of thing. But
we'll have to review. That's a good point, Larry. Maybe we'll have to review that a little more in depth and make sure we know all of
it.
It
could happen.
All
it just seems like for a guy walking around signing a $12 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that kind of surprised me. We paid for the original jail. It's got a kitchen and a center in there, $7 million. If we're, I think you had out $7 million the other day to build the original, and then this was thing here just an addition. Don't need a kitchen, don't need nothing, and it's $12 million. So I don't know. It just seems like a really, really high inflation in 15 years.
I've not seen that. 15 years is a long time. And,
yeah, I know.
I mean,
and that's kind of why we insisted on getting that estimate.
Even the last year, look at everything's gone up.
Yeah. I know, but the trucks I've been buying, I mean, they've only gone up probably 25%, in the last 15 years. So.
Houses have doubled. You even look at houses, housing prices have doubled.
Well,
so,
yeah,
if you look at it that way. We'll discuss that when we get more information, because that is coming back to us, I think, in October, next month, I think, as a matter of fact. Those estimates are coming back. All right, item D. Are we ready to move to item D?
Please.
Okay.
Roll with it.
Item D, the board to review and certify each officer's notarized inventory statement of all county personal property in the possession of that officer is valid and file them in the clerk's office. We have all of those.
All of them have been received and they've all been valid.
Perfect. So Joan's got them all in the folder there and they are all in due order. I'll make a motion to approve the notarized inventory statements.
I'll second.
Janet and Bob. Any other questions for Joan? Any particular ones you want to look at or hear about? All right, let's do.
I think you got the virus down there, Scott.
You bet I did.
Larry.
Florida.
Troy.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
All right, the next item, number E. Joan Spencer, County Clerk, Election Commissioner, requesting approval for the purchase of over $5,000 for G-Works, which is election mapping. You want to give us kind of a lowdown on that, Joan? I think that was something we didn't.
I was on a conference call with Wayne Benna, and they want to do away with the street file in our voter registration system, and they want everyone to go to electronic mapping, which is G-Works. And they were hoping that they would be able to get some backing or cost support from NACO, or they thought maybe our ARPA money might be able to, because the election, the COVID had such a impact on the election that they thought maybe they could tie some of that stuff together and get some ARPA money also.
Okay, so I will approve for the G-Works for Joan's office for the mapping.
I'll second it.
Troy. Now, even because we're at large, it still doesn't matter, because when I went to that very first one, they thought we weren't going to have to do it, but now they're...
And I held off forever thinking we wouldn't have to do it, and now we have to submit electronic mapping to all the subdivisions, and now they're going to...
Well, it's a necessary evil, I guess, even though we're at large rather than district commissioners, or they call it a different name for. All right, and I guess we'll do roll on that.
Troy?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. And then the last item under miscellaneous and old business has ARPA funds, discussion regarding possible committee projects, application, and procedures. And there's, Joan, you put something in the packet that NACO is going to be kind of a consultant for us?
Hired a consultant.
Okay.
Yeah, I read that too. Is that, does that sound, or were you reading that, anybody else, that if you wanted to hire them, they would be helping?
Oh.
I think it's...
Oh, so it's not like they can...
I thought that's okay. What I read. But anyway, some additional information on that. So I reached out to Candace Meredith, who works for NACO. She's a good resource for information. And a couple of suggestions she had. Obviously, broadband is at the top of everybody's list for ARPA money for broadband projects. Box culverts, she said, if they're EPA approved, they could be a grant or something we could use the funds on.
Really?
Uh-huh. And,
and it wouldn't cost us anything.
Right.
It's not a grant for a part of it. It's
right.
Thing.
So then the other thing, another thing was the some grants assistance, and I know Joan has had some contact from folks requesting whether it's mm-hmm. it's a some type of funding for a private, I think it's private companies. that have lost due to the pandemic. And she mentioned some funding for health departments. I don't know what that all entails. And the last thing, she also suggested that John Cannon, who is mm-hmm. the director at NACO, is going around and is willing to come to counties and do a just a quick presentation on the ARPA mm-hmm. funds, et cetera. So I said, yeah, we'll take him. So he's going to be here October 4th.
Good. Outstanding. For the meeting?
For the meeting.
That'd be good to get.
So I'm guessing, 10 minutes. And that'll be, I think, free of charge. I think NACO. John is.
He's a good guy.
It
should be.
Yeah, it should be.
EPA approved.
Mm-hmm. Box culverts.
Environmental Protection Agency approved.
Mm-hmm. So evidently other counties are planning to do that or have done that already.
The state of Iowa now, I was at that meeting, the Simcoe meeting, mm-hmm. and the state of Iowa's got 24 box culverts in the planning and got some they're working on, they're ready to do them all, but they can't get the box culverts.
Mm-hmm.
They're
really?
Precast box culverts that set in there. Yeah.
Well, anyway, that was one of the things that she mentioned.
I wonder if it ain't that same money.
Probably.
And you have 4 years to spend it, so mm-hmm. you don't have to necessarily
right.
get them right away.
That's a good part, too.
But yeah, infrastructure. I know I've gotten some phone calls from various communities that have water projects or sewer projects, and so I think it's nice to.
On a deal like that, if you shouldn't have their blessings prior to going forward with this particular thing, get their approval.
Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be a good idea to. That's why John might be helpful to come and talk to us.
That way we wouldn't have to go back and pick up the cost as a taxpayer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and then also, if worse came to worse, like in Woodbury's situation, they're bound and determined to spend that $14 million on that
sure.
jail.
Yeah.
But they also, they'll say that, if that falls through, they have a way to pay for it.
There might be something to that.
So they're planning on doing it until somebody says no.
Yeah.
So, in our situation, that would be the same deal. We could do projects and we'd want to check it out first and if they're doable.
Sure.
But if not, and we have to pay for it, then we have to have the availability or the wherewithal to get that done. So
I'm glad John will be coming. But then maybe after he comes we can set up a committee or have an application, maybe go talk to our local communities or local
sure.
the chamber, or kind of get the word out that this is the application process. This is what you have to give us. You have to show you.
Shall we do a committee? I mean, I can at least get some names of people who would
uh-huh.
be willing to sit on it, and then
mm-hmm.
maybe bring that list back. And
that's an idea.
Form a committee.
Because
contact each village.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice to have representation from our rural areas
yeah.
as in each community. The chamber, kind of the logical entities that,
yeah.
and they could maybe establish an application and vetting process.
Yeah, that we do need, mm-hmm. because right now, Joan, is everybody, do they come to you or the calls that come to your office?
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just
Cherise put together a application.
Good.
Well, I'd be willing to be on the committee.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Mm-hmm. If we need somebody to.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to take a couple commissioners and then get some people from a person from Homer or mm-hmm. Hubbard or Emerson?
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
South
City.
Yeah, I think that'd be
Jackson.
A great idea.
Yeah, Jackson area,
uh-huh.
right,
Emerson.
From all the communities.
Uh-huh.
That'd be great.
I know Bill Rohde was wanting to
uh-huh.
sit in on.
Do Joan, would that be something? I'm sure all of our cities and villages get emails,
mm-hmm.
get our agenda for our meetings. I wonder if that's something maybe when John Cannon's here, if they wanted to come to,
mm-hmm.
If they had questions on it, or maybe they have them answered, or maybe they're not looking at doing anything. I don't know. But,
yeah.
But just kind of a heads up that
an invite that we have a expert speaker.
To have a list from him saying what exactly the money could be spent for and to what degree. Because then there'd be people wanting things done. You could say, well, that don't qualify. It's just too bad it's not already been printed.
Well, I think that's, kind that's of a, what this Lutz company would do.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, I think they would. But these are, as I mentioned, these are just items that evidently these are the broadband. Everybody talks about broadband.
Yep.
And I don't know. That's a stretch.
We have a map. NNTC is one of the people that approached us. Northeast Nebraska Telephone Company, and there's a large spot of the county that has no internet. Service.
Yep. There's some areas out there that's pretty poor reception if you've ever tried to.
Right.
Yeah, everybody thinks, that's a lot of money. How you gonna spend all that? It'll be pretty easy.
It'll go fast.
Oh, yeah.
Do they? Would they have any idea, Joan, on what something like that would?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
What it would cost.
And it'd be good to get people sitting, and maybe there's ways we can collaborate on projects and. You know, if so-and-so is having this done and so this village is too, we can maybe figure out a way to make it.
Absolutely.
Volume discount.
Absolutely.
Or something. No, that'd be a great idea. So when he comes on the 4th, that would be, we can really kind of lay it out.
And if Bob's willing to sit on it, I'd be willing to sit on it.
Okay.
If I have a problem with that, I guess, when it comes to Jackson, I would have to say you probably have to get one of the,
I'll ask the village.
Yeah, the village people, but I know her name and maybe Jason Martinette. I don't know if he would be a good candidate to come, represent the village of Hubbard. I guess we're just going to have to let them make those decisions of who they want to come to sit on that, but at least maybe get an email out to them and tell them that we'd like to have a representative from their community.
That's a great idea. Yep.
Well,
I think it'd be nice.
Girl, she's the mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I just
Stephanie.
Said. That's
Stephanie's
Donna,
the.
Donna or Stephanie?
Donna's the clerk, and Stephanie. Stephanie's the mayor. Yep.
Keep it in the family. That's the end of the down.
Yep. All right. Well, that will help us get rolling on that project, which I think is important. There's a lot of interest in that, so that's wonderful. All right. Item number 5, commissioner and committee reports. Anything there?
More than that, like I said, Woodbury's. One of the state of South Dakota guy there explaining what their 10-year planning is up there and how they go about things in South Dakota. And it was pretty interesting. I can't repeat it all as much of it, but it took about 20 minutes.
They got a pretty good formula.
Yes, they do.
They really do.
Yes, they do.
Granted, they're, again, very underpopulated, but for what they have going on up there.
Well, that's the whole thing. There's no population, but they got good roads.
I know, that's what I mean.
and
a lot of them are hard service, but they got their own chip and seal people,
Well, we do here, too. There's our chip seal now here in Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Such it is.
But anyways, I know they have a good program.
They do. I mean, you just go up there across them two bridges, the one in Newcastle and the one up in Niobrara.
Yep.
You come on this. If you go from this side of the river that way, the road's horrible.
Yep.
So you get to the bridge, you get to the other side, it's beautiful.
Yep.
Not a flaw in it.
Yep.
In both cases. I'm sure your husband noticed that.
I don't know if that video lottery up there pays for a lot of that.
Yeah, I think tourism and gambling,
I think.
A lot of
tourism. I mean, they got, that goes a long ways.
Yeah, but think of the industry we have here. I mean, they don't have really sick of them.
Okay.
You get away from Sioux Falls.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Any other committee reports or commissioner reports? How about mail or emergency business? Anything there? All right. Well, we'll adjourn this meeting at 4:23, and I think we have a BOE meeting. Is that right? A couple topics on that list.
Hey, where are you going? Come on, it ain't gonna work out. Oh, you gotta go to the city. No, I get it. Bigger and better things. I'm with you, bro.
Oh, here's your...
My gavel.
Your gavel.
My gavel.
While you're meeting to... Oh, yeah, wait for Scott.
Wait till Scott.
We'll be washing hands. Yeah, why wait? We were 2 weeks without him.
Hey, we got a quorum.
Yeah, he's not here, he's not here.
What's the top, is there a topic that's, relevant?
No, not.
Because you have a meeting at 5, don't you, today? No?
I thought I did, but it's not till next week.
Okay.
I had my phone right, but my brain was not right.
Your what?
My memory was not right.
You're right. Your phone knew, but your brain didn't. I know how that goes.
Find something?
Yeah, thank you.
Joan came through. We're gonna call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Troy.
Here.
Janet Hill.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert Husey.
Here.
Larry Alvin.
Here.
Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens and tenants. Dakota County Board of Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of items on the agenda if necessary. Number one is the consent agenda approval of the previous minutes, August 9th, 2021.
So moved.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes. Going to two, new business. A, hearing for Glad Tidings Lighthouse application for exemption for motor vehicle taxes by qualifying nonprofit organization for 2018 Chevy three-door bearing bin 1GAZGPFG3J1277083 used for trips and church activities and ministry. Application comes with recommendation by approval of Don Bosque, treasurer.
Don, everything's, it's just a normal procedure, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we need a motion for that?
So moved.
So is there a hearing? When he says a hearing, do we, I mean, then I wonder why it says hearing.
It's not an open and close, it's just.
Oh, okay.
I'll second.
All right.
Thank you.
To approve?
To approve.
Yes.
Okay.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Board to consider the recommendation of county treasurer or any other information they obtain shall approve or deny the exemption on the basis of the law of rules. I guess that's all inclusive.
We did that.
Okay.
We did.
So we'll go to B. Board to approve or not to approve the tax exempt status of the Pender Hospital Clinic of Dakota County on parcel 22000-1448.
Christy, come on up. Hello. It's exciting.
I'm not sure if Kim found out any more information or not. But
I don't know that there's really any more to find.
I mean,
it looks to me that they would be exempt.
So basically, we have to prove it. I mean, they are exempt. Yeah. Isn't that what John said, too? They had to have notice before a certain date or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So next year, can we do something, maybe, or no?
It's up to you, but if they're a hospital district, I don't know how we can do it.
Yeah. I don't think there's no way around it.
Okay.
So this is what I'm going to do. On B, I will make a motion to approve the tax exemption status on the Dakota County parcel 22000-1448 Pender Hospital Clinic.
I'll second.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Yes.
C, hearing for Siouxland Community Health Center regarding the exemption application appeal for consideration of tax exemption on real and personal property by qualifying organization, or to grant or withhold tax exemption for real tangible personal property on the basis of law and of regulations promulgated by the tax commissioner by requesting qualified organizations of Siouxland Community Health Center on parcel 22014-1894.
So they filed in August. They were not owners of record as of January when they were buying it on contract. They just paid it off, I think, in the last month or two. It's too late. They're past all the deadlines they can possibly file by, and there was no extension given. So they can apply next year, but this year, no.
Okay.
So...
So this year they're not exempt, but they could apply next year.
They can apply next year.
So there's no action on this, or?
They filed an application.
I think we have to approve. So I will make a motion to approve the.
No.
No, you want to deny.
Deny.
I was going to say approve the deny.
Look at Paul. I know what I'm doing.
Oh, it says deny on there. Okay. Okay.
What's your motion?
I'll make a motion to go with the assessor's
recommendation
to deny.
I thought you were going to say approve it. I was going to stop. He's like, no, you can't approve
it. No, what it is.
Sorry.
Second that.
I should let you finish.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
D, closed session to discuss pending litigation and tax equalization review commission, Turk case, 20E0072, Boys and Girls Home versus Dakota County.
I'll make a motion to go into closed session.
4:30.
Four, yeah.
Second. Janet?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
You ready to go?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert? Larry?
Yeah. We'll be done shortly.
Yeah. She should have.
Oh, she
knows. It's on another. This is another thing. We'll be done shortly, I think.
No.
We just did that one.
Yeah, I know. Oh. I know. She just wants to talk to Christy.
Oh, Chris, okay.
Will you read the closed session thing again?
Closed session discussed pending litigation and tax equalization review commission, Turk case 20E-0072, Boys and Girls Home versus Dakota County.
So it's 4:30.
Okay, I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
Second.
All right.
4:38.
Do we need to make a motion?
You are
just come
voting,
on
the
yes,
voting
yes.
to reconvene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scott?
Yes.
Jeff, Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Box culvert.
Okay, the hell is the difference between a box culvert and a bridge? Think about it.
So,
okay, item E.
Or Janet?
Yeah.
You remember that motion?
We need to approve the county attorney to prepare... The Turk.
Giving it back to you.
Let's see. We want to approve it, right? Approve the confession judgment, Boys and Girls Home versus Dakota County. Is that right?
Approve the county attorney to prepare.
Prepare the confession of judgment. I'm not really sure what a confession of judgment is, but it's kind of the to go with this paperwork that to settle it. Okay. A motion to approve the county attorney to prepare the confession judgment for Turk case. 20E-0072 for Boys and Girls Home versus Dakota County.
Anything with confession with the word confession makes me nervous.
I know, me too. That's why I was like, I want to make sure I say this right.
I'll second that.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Hold on, Larry. We're not done yet.
Couple more things.
F. Discussion regarding inviting school to county protest hearings. This was my idea, but I'd like to invite all the schools that when we protest, like Homer School District, they have somebody there to represent themselves. We'll do it all in one shot. South Sioux, Jackson, just so they can explain where 70% of your tax dollars go.
Nice.
Or they'll see the list of people that are protesting and go, oh gosh, that family is big supporter.
But this is the problem. When they have their hearing, their public hearing for their budget, nobody shows up.
I was going to show up. But we had a meeting.
And that's great. But I'm just saying, whenever they have it, because I remember at one time they were trying to get me to go to ruffle some feathers, but it's...
Homer's the same way. Well, I was on 10 years.
Nobody shows up.
People show 10 years. But anyway, I still think we should send this out.
I like it.
Invite.
Because it kind of puts it in their head that, oh gosh, this is...
Let's not spend all the
money. Just because you got the authority doesn't mean you have...
Well, the people aren't here. I mean, but you want the protest to be organized by school district?
Well, so like if we're going to do people that are in Homer School District, we'll just try and have them there at such and such time and maybe invite the school board to send somebody from the board to represent themselves for the Homer School District. And then if you have Jackson, you know, whatever school it is.
The people don't come. I mean.
Yeah, I know, but you don't get where I'm coming from on this deal. It'd just be good if the school thought that, I mean, if they didn't have to come.
They think that they're being.
If they read those things, the money that's being spent is what I'm saying.
When people say, my tax, I didn't do anything to my house and it went up 20%, so they would see
but
those.
But maybe somebody will be here and they'll say, why?
Mm-hmm. But like Tanya Beerman did. Tanya did a.
She did a good job.
There's a few people that.
Yeah. But even if they don't show up, it does show on the screen. The theme is my taxes went up. And
so when you guys meet with the referee and his recommendation, that's when you want the school board to come. Okay.
We
should organize
next year
the protest by school district.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Those socks are killer, dude.
I don't know. I don't know what's on the school board.
Think your family?
Ponca. It's Ponca. Yeah.
And Emerson, Hubbard goes to Emerson, right?
They're good.
Yeah.
It's the girls.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. What's it? Steph.
Oh, I see it now.
Kathy.
But that when you're like last year, we had a lot of Homer people protesting. That would have been it.
Been fun.
Yeah.
You know, when I was, I used to be gay.
All right.
I wanted
you're not gay?
Yeah.
No, you're not happy anymore.
Three, mail and emergency business. Do we have any?
None.
Four, public comment. Let's adjourn the meeting.
All right.
Ding, ding.
Okay.
All right.
442. 442.
They're bragging on themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got three bullet holes in the back of my house. I never did come back with any kind of report. Told me.